Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. It is day three from Radio Row at Super Bowl 58. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined by Mr. Denny Carter and a young man you may have heard of, Puka Nacua, the NFL's all-time leading rookie receiver and an historic playoff game as well. Puka, you were a fifth-round pick drafted into a receiver core that included Cooper Kupp. What were your rookie expectations, and did they include being so good you are now literally being forced to talk to fantasy football guys at the Super Bowl?
No, they definitely were. The expectations were, I was trying to make sure I was going to be able to make the team. I had two older brothers that went undrafted and played, and my brother had played in the NFL. So to be drafted was such a, it was exciting. And then knowing that I was going to be later, I was like, man, I got to do whatever I can to make the team. And then things definitely worked out in my favor.
Yes, they did.
Yeah, I would say you made the team. And I would say with the 181 yards against the Lions, you've probably secured your roster spot for next year.
We'll see.
So, Puka, you know, you entered the season with kind of like no expectations, just trying to be the best you could be. Denny here, though, was actually something of a Puka early adopter. And he has insisted for days that we play the clip of him recommending you as a late-round fantasy sleeper in late July. Here was Denny on Puka last summer.
Are you kidding me? With you're leaving Puka Nacua till fourth?
I am.
He should be second. He should be the second person off your lips when you're talking about Rams receivers. I want Puka Nacua out of the non-Cup Rams receivers. Mm-hmm. Obviously, I've made this clear, almost too clear, some would say, over the past couple months. and others would say, can you just shut up about Puka Nacua, please?
Puka, you couldn't hear that, but Denny was literally saying people were telling him to shut up about Puka Nacua last July.
I was being silenced about I was talking you up because, you know, I'm looking at your numbers, I'm looking at your college play, and I'm saying, why are we not talking about this guy? So I was way early on you. It's very exciting to talk to you because
I appreciate the love.
I mean I'm in a Discord with guys where our only common bond is that we all drafted you in fantasy, and we were all huge fans of you throughout the season. I will say, look, the reason I drafted you for real, just face to face, now that we get to talk, is because you had the most magnificent hair in all of sports.
And
so if we're gonna be honest about it, that's what it was. In all seriousness, I was excited about your NFL prospects. And this was before, by the way, I knew that you were part of the Rams Breakfast Club with Matthew Stafford and Cooper Kupp. And this has been a huge meme in fantasy circles since Stafford got to LA in 2021, where we were told, hey, Cooper Kupp's having breakfast with Stafford. We said, oh, that means something, okay? they're cooking up something, they're developing chemistry. We didn't know that you were in on these meetings until like week like 4 or 5. And everybody's very upset. They said, well, if we would have known this, we would have drafted Puka Nacua in every league.
So they weren't listening to you. That was a mistake.
that's true. And if I had known, I would have drafted you in the first round. You know. Anyway, tell us about what you learned from those meetings in the offseason with Matthew Stafford and with Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, I think just that the understanding of the timing and then understanding the defense of the coverages, how we use our the motions and the stuff that we do in our offense in order to take advantage of what we're seeing on the defense, and then just trying to understand what Matthew Stafford is thinking. I mean, that guy there's not a place in the field that he can't put that football. So being able to understand where he wants you to be and what is the best position, because he's also taking into consideration where the defense is. When he throws you a shallow route, he's trying to put it in the best position for you to get yards and for you to protect yourself too. So understanding all the little nuances of catching the ball and running routes is just then they're talking everything. They're talking save the earth, save the water, and they're also talking about how we about to dial up these guys on defense too. So it's a great time in there.
Well, so yeah, I mean, you played for some big time college programs, but we all know even if you're in the biggest college programs, it's such a huge adjustment to the NFL. What was like when you're talking to Matthew Stafford, you're talking to Cooper Kupp? What was the first thing that dawned on you last summer? Like, yeah, okay, wow, this is not hype. This is a lot different than even like the elite levels of college football.
Yeah, I knew I was in for a long one when the first time I got invited out to throw routes was in the summertime. We haven't really gone over this too much of the offense, and he's like, Matthew's like, saying the whole play and then just like self-tagging me after. He'd be like, I'd be kind of out there jogging back from running the route from before, and he's like, all right, we'll go through the whole play. And he'd say the whole play, and then he'd be like, okay, this is the route you have. And I'd be like, what were you talking about? He's like, don't worry about it. This is the route you have. And I'd be like, wait, I should probably know this. And he's like, don't worry about it, I got you. And then really? It was so funny because that's how he does it. He takes so much upon himself and being able to make sure our operation is run right. But it's like, I don't understand a single word he said, and I was like, I know some of those words. Coach, I heard Coach McVay that he said that one is means we go to the right, and I was like, I don't know what Matthew said right there though.
And so along those lines, so Denny and I were talking about this before we interviewed you. We didn't even know how to ask this question. You're one of those receivers where, like, Denny and I know a lot about football, but, you know, we're not, like, film guys. When I watch the Rams play, it's like Puka's open, like, every single play. Like, how – like, is that just, like, natural instincts, natural feel? Is it that combined right. with coaching and, like mentoring from Matthew Stafford? Because I feel like you have just an uncanny ability to find the soft space in the defense. And you were a rookie. I'm like, this guy's always open. It's not supposed to be like this.
I think a mixture of everything kind of you said right there. Matthew and Coop, for sure, being able to be on the same page and understand what they're seeing and thinking out there. But then also, I love playing basketball and football. I've been playing as a little kid. I think of my older brothers, how much they beat me up, and they made me understand, okay, if this is the bigger guy that I don't want to get hit by, I could probably stop right here and be like, all right, let's see if the quarterback can save me from this one and stuff like that. But a little bit of a natural feel and stuff is kind of going up from lateral movement and stuff like that. But a combination of a bunch of things for sure.
Can I ask you just real quick, and this is actually not on our script of questions, but I was thinking of your week one performance against the 49ers.
Man, welcome to the
Seattle.
NFL.
Seattle. It was Niners for the next week, week two. And you saw, and you had, I think, 17, 18 targets in your first game. Were you expecting that at all, that sort of role, the monster target share?
No, I had no idea. I mean, I feel like I'm in the practices, we're watching film, and we're going through the tape, but it's not like there was, like, the plays were like, oh, okay, it's like Puka's getting the ball right here. Or like, this is like, oh, it was like, even like where the concept was like necessarily favored for just for me to get the ball. And I was just like, oh, I'm going out there. And like, I just remember I was so scared. My first pass ever thrown to me, I dropped. Me and Matthew weren't on the same page. I ran an under route. Yeah. And, but like, he was like, you're good. And I was like, good? Am I actually good?
And Puka
was like,
is cut.
That's not what's supposed to happen.
That's good.
Now, you mentioned something else too. You mentioned playing basketball. I feel like this has become a narrative too. That, like, too many athletes today, like, they're only single sport focused. It sounds like, do you think, like, playing other sports, like, part of your NFL? This is kind of a dumb question, but, like, it seems like you took stuff from other sports, and that players shouldn't just be focusing only on their one sport in high school.
Yeah, 100%. I have size 14 feet, so being a wide receiver, it's not actually not ideal to have big feet because you with the footwork involved. But I think of, like, to play what it would like to play soccer. I never played soccer in my life, but I love playing basketball. So, like, a crossover, like, if I'm one-on-one, like, that's me one-on-one with the wide receiver. That lateral movement, those ability to go high point of rebound, the same, that's me going to catch a goal ball and stuff like that. So it's, a lot of those movements are very similar, and it's also super competitive too, so that keeps me going and it keeps you all on the edges.
Well, do they still let you play basketball, by the way, or are they, like, afraid you'll get a high ankle sprain or something?
I don't play any basketball in the offseason. No basketball in the offseason for me.
All right, to get real, just for 1 second here, we're going to ask you a very difficult question, and that is it you or is it Cooper Kupp as the number one wide receiver?
Cooper Kupp, 100%. I am Robin. That's for 100% for sure.
You're a good Robin.
I have endured that role, and I love it. Cooper Kupp is the man. He's been such a blessing and a big brother to me, but Cooper's top dog over there.
All right. I'll take your word.
Puka is Puka, the best receiver tandem in the NFL. That's Puka, we could talk to you for an hour. Sadly, we're already out of time, but thank you so much for stopping by. Enjoy your new Apple Vision Pro, by the way.
Thank you very much. I will.
Thank you so much. That was Puka Nacua. We'll be joined next by Tony Pollard. Won another sweat during Super Bowl week. Jay Croucher and Drew Dinsick have you covered with a special edition of Bet the Edge on Thursday evening. Join the guys on our NFL and NBC YouTube page at 9 p.m. Eastern for an NFL Awards watch-along and find out how they feel about the winners for Coach of the Year, Defensive Player of the Year, and much more. We are now joined by 2023 Dallas Cowboys lead back-to-back 1,000-yard rusher, Tony Pollard. Tony, so I mentioned the lead back. Last season was your first professional season as the unquestioned lead back. You've been in a lot of really talented backfields, going back, as you were saying before the show, to your days in Memphis. What was the biggest difference between sharing a backfield and being, like, the guy in Dallas last year?
Just the responsibility you have to take, being the lead back, taking care of your body. Before things can go wrong, just stand a step ahead of things so you're not in treatment or in rehab too long, things like that. Getting more body work done, getting more massages, things like that. So just increasing the prep to make sure my body could withstand the entire season.
Right, yeah, and, you know, obviously you were coming off a major leg injury heading into the 2023 season. You said in late December that there was a, quote, night and day difference between how you felt when the season started in September and how you felt near the end of the season. I wanted to ask you, another year removed from that leg injury, what do you think that means for your game in 2024?
Honestly, I feel like it can only go up. Okay. Only go up from here. You know, especially not having to deal with an injury or not having to be in rehab and, right, you know, take steps back from me trying to progress and get better and push my game to the next level. So, yeah, just me having a healthy offseason, I feel like it's going to make a world of a difference.
Is early in the season, you know, coming off that injury, did you feel like there was some limitations as to what you could do on the field?
I mean, honestly, at the moment in my head, I felt like I was good. I was all ready to go. But after you just watch film and look at yourself on tape, and then I would say it was after the Panthers game.
Right.
The Panthers game was when I just felt like, all right, now I'm back.
Okay.
And then after that, I was good. But, yeah, I mean, mentally, you think that you're ready to go.
Right.
You're everything firing on all cylinders. But as the season goes on and you get a little better and you realize that maybe you weren't kind of
– Sure.
Yeah.
I remember Jamal Charles said something similar when he came off, I think, his second ACL injury. He said, you know, I looked at myself and I said, you know, I'm still not moving the way that I'm used to moving.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until much later in that season that he got right. So
yeah, it definitely takes time.
Yeah, hopefully, you know, another year removed, you'll be good to go in 2024.
So, Tony, we're talking about being a lead back. And in the modern NFL, part of being a lead back is being a pass catcher. You have to catch passes. That's something you've always done so well in the NFL. And just how do you become such a good pass catcher out of the backfield? Is that, what do you think is the most important part of your game? Because you've proven you can do it all. And just how much do you pride yourself in the pass catching? Because fantasy football, we love the receptions, we must say. We absolutely love the receptions.
It's pretty, like, catching the ball for me is almost second nature. I mean, at Memphis, I was a running back on paper, but on the field when I lined up, I was in the slot
right. Most
of the time. So I was a receiver, so I'm used to catching the ball out in the open field and contested catches and things like that. So just having that in my background and then just being able to run in between the tackles too, pass block on top of all of that, and then just combine it all together.
See, because in fantasy football, you know, touchdowns are, of course, king. But in modern fantasy football, we love the receptions. And I just wanted to ask you too, like, I've been wanting to ask all the players, when you hear fantasy football, what's like the first thing that comes to your mind? Did we just like annoy you guys? Like, or is it
which is understandable,
at all?
By the way. I get it.
what do you think when you hear fantasy football?
When I think of fantasy football, I think of ignore it.
Yeah, which you should do.
That's probably the best. Best
you have
avenue.
To. Whether they're all over you telling you how good you are or what you're doing for their squad, you got to ignore it because it could be the next play. Something could go wrong.
Sure.
And then,
sure,
that whole conversation gonna change.
You know, as a community, we try to be good about the way we talk to players and stuff. But I know it can get it can get messy at times. So I totally understand that. You know, you've been with the Cowboys your entire career. Now you're headed into free agency, obviously. So we wanted to ask you, you know, going into the next few months here, going into free agency, what is your mindset headed into that part of your life, part of your career?
I mean, right now I'm locked in. When the game's over, Super Bowl's over, I'm back working out, you know, back hitting it and getting it, getting into the groove of things, trying to get my body back right, and then just letting the market play out and see where it goes from there.
So if you're back with the Cowboys, so the Cowboys, you know, made a big change last year. The fantasy community, we were nervous. Kellen Moore wasn't brought back as offensive coordinator. Head coach Mike McCarthy resumed play calling duties, but you guys didn't miss a beat. You were more explosive, probably the most explosive the Cowboys offense has been in a really, really long time. What was the difference in Dallas last year from 2022? We're already an elite offense to last year. You guys, it seemed like you were scoring 40 points every week.
Blew the roof off.
What was the big difference last year?
I would say our philosophy kind of changed. With Kellen, we were more of a run the ball to pass, to open up a pass game. And I would say with McCarthy, it was more of a pass the ball to open up the run game. And so that was the reason why a lot of things played out how they did this
And
year.
It worked. It worked really well. I mean, your passing attack, both, you know, the receivers, to Jake Ferguson, to you out of the backfield, explosive throughout the season. We're hoping to get more of that next year.
Yeah, so we referenced the season, the 2023 season. We'll ask you a Super Bowl question. Where you played the 49ers mm-hmm. in early October, another really, really explosive offense. But then a really, really elite defense, too. Mm-hmm. As an offensive guy, how would you say, you might not have a great answer for this, how can the Chiefs find success against this 49ers defense that really scrambled a lot of teams they played this year? And what would you do if you were the Kansas City Chiefs in Super Bowl 58 against the 49ers?
Honestly, the advice that I would say for them is you got a guy on your team named Patrick Mahomes. That's like the second greatest thing to Tom Brady. So
yeah,
when you got somebody like that on your team, it's so important that you just let them be themselves and just and let the game come to them and just be natural out there.
Sometimes it doesn't have to be complicated, right? You just say Mahomes.
So yes, there's more.
So yeah, you mentioned cases. Mahomes. That's all you have to say is Mahomes. The other guy, Brock Purdy, people have been slower to embrace. Fantasy guys, like, there's still, like, some people just like refuse to believe that he's like an elite NFL quarterback. But what makes Brock Purdy? He's not Patrick Mahomes. No one else is Patrick Mahomes, like you said. Like, what it makes Brock? How did Brock Purdy come out of nowhere like this? What makes Brock Purdy a quarterback who's now capable of starting a Super Bowl?
I would say he plays within himself. Mm-hmm. He doesn't try to do too much. He doesn't try to force things. He does a good job of taking what the defense gives him a lot of times. And then once you play like that, the defense gets greedy, and then you know they want to stop the short catches and the long catches, and you can't do both. So that's when you end up getting beat. Deep passes across the middle, deep bombs down the field. So he's done a great job stepping in and, you know, being elite.
So last question, Tony. You've been in the league half a decade at this point. The league's kind of a fraternity. I mean, it's not that everyone knows each other, but anyone in particular you're rooting for, like individual players that you're happy made the Super Bowl, that you're rooting for in the Super Bowl, kind of what are like your personal storylines for the Super Bowl this weekend?
I'm cheering for all the backs, both of the running backs. Christian McCaffrey, he's a beast.
Should he be in the MVP conversation? Because now the media, they don't even consider running back part of like the MVP conversation.
He definitely should be in that conversation. I'm cheering for Isaiah Pacheco. I'm hoping both of those two guys have great games.
And Pacheco's really come on in the postseason.
Could you tackle Isaiah Pacheco?
That'll be tough.
Can you one time breaking into the open field, can you do the Pacheco high step? next year, just, you know, if you get a chance, just do that.
It almost looked painful. I don't know if I want to try that one.
It's the classic. He's angry at the ground.
He runs angry.
Yeah.
Definitely. Perfect description.
Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to some fantasy nerds. This is like our Super Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah, we're getting to talk to Tony Pollard. This is amazing. We've been drafting him for years. He's been carrying our fantasy teams for years. So
yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you so much for taking the time. Stop by. Good luck in free agency. You deserve a multi-year long deal. And, we'll be drafting you next year.
We're rooting for you.
Yes, sir. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah. All right. Thanks.
Appreciate you, man. Join the party on the PGA Tour at TPC Scottsdale this week as Scottie Scheffler goes for his third straight title at the WM Phoenix Open. Check out all the big drives, hole outs, and rowdy fans on the 16th green on NBC Golf Channel as well as Peacock, where you can stream the entire tournament.
And by the way, Pat and everybody listening, I've looked into the analytics of the Phoenix Open, and I can confirm it is Akshay Bhatia season, so place your bets, folks.
I've never heard of him. I'm sure he's very good. And the analytics for the Phoenix Open, the WM Open as it's now known, say you could no longer survive it if you attended.
No.
Because you would have to have 2.5 White Claws per 30 minutes instead of per day.
Exactly right. I would feel not great. I don't think if I had to exceed my limit of 2.5 hard seltzers on the 16th. And, of course, I would not throw my can onto the green when someone makes a hole in one. I find that unbecoming, folks.
Yeah, by the way, we've started a GoFundMe to send you to the Phoenix Open next year. You know where Denny was last night was a hockey game.
That's right.
And you've been on this earth 4 decades. And you tell me you've never been to an NHL hockey. You are Gary Bettman's worst nightmare. You had never been to a hockey. What were your thoughts on the old puck at T-Mobile Center?
We went to go see the Vegas Golden Knights play, the Stanley Cup champions, I'm told. This is what I'm told. This is what we're hearing. And we went, and it was amazing. The atmosphere was incredible. It was a mix of, I don't know, like a coliseum and a nightclub.
It was.
And that was cool. It was an event, you know. It was an event here in Vegas. It was very Vegas-y,
it was.
You know. And Pat and I were talking. We were like, you know, more teams should consider an exciting atmosphere.
Or maybe make an arena intimidating once.
Yeah. I mean, they tried in so many ironic ways. They tried to make it an intimidating place. It was very loud. The music was very loud. I was actually told today that visiting teams have complained about the volume of the music. And that actually makes sense to me because I have little sensitive ears, Pat.
Oh,
okay. And
I did see you holding your ears at one point when the guy was banging the shield.
Yes.
You were holding
ear. That was the loudest noise I've ever heard in my life.
It was, actually.
Okay.
To be fair, they need to turn that down a little bit.
It was ringing. I was ringing coming out of the stadium. I didn't particularly love that, but the environment was fantastic. I had a great time, and we got to see Connor McDavid, who is a player. And by the way, I don't know if anybody's noticed this. Very fast on the ice.
Yes. Denny is the first person to notice Connor McDavid fast on the ice. But yeah, so listen, I know modern stadiums, modern arenas, they have to have their corporate suites. They've got to have their frills, their amenities. But yeah, we needed more places again called like the Pit,
yeah,
or the Hole,
right,
or even just Yankee Stadium,
yeah,
or the Coliseum,
right. Not a company you've never heard of.
Yes, and not
is one thing.
Not I'm looking around for some corporate sponsor, but I don't want to offend anybody.
I think that's a bad idea.
but
there are a few corporate sponsors here on Radio Row. I don't know if you know.
We did though. Denny and I declared. America's never gone, but America is various degrees of back.
Yeah.
America had never been more back than after the Golden Knights pregame intro.
It's back.
It's back.
There's no arguing against it. It's analytics.
And we're back after two fantastic interviews, Puka Nacua,
yeah,
and Tony Pollard. Puka Nacua, one of us, I would say.
Man, just a guy. I mean, Pollard was fantastic as well. I mean, Puka, like you said before the show, or before we started recording this segment, he could talk about anything.
He could. He was talking about scrolling Twitter. He was talking about he's an Apple guy. He's got the Vision Pro goggles now.
And he told us all about it?
He basically said he didn't think they could use it to, like, practice, though. We asked him that.
Right.
And he didn't see the applications there. But, Puka, two really, really, really great conversations. But I like Puka, too. My favorite Puka answer was, we asked, what were your expectations for your rookie year? And, a lot of them were like, my expectations were to be a killer.
Taking
Tom Brady's
job. I was the best.
Yeah, it's like 2013. Like, I'm taking Tom Brady's job, and Puka was like, I just wanted to be Puka. It's like, yeah. I had no expectations. He literally said he just wanted to make the team.
Hi, yes, very unassuming.
Yes,
very unassuming guy. We love to see that regular guy. He thanked me, by the way, when he was leaving the set. He thanked me for being on the quote Puka train.
I know, he really did.
Which
this actually did
mean,
happen.
Mean that really did, and that, which means the world to me.
I know.
Because I have been. Back in June and July, I was like, this kid Puka Nacua, you never know. And it worked out.
After Denny and I go off the air today, he's going to tearfully call up his father. Dad, he knows I'm on the Puka train.
And my dad, by the way, is on the Puka train because of me.
Your dad, you tell him this and he doesn't respond. And you're like, Dad, I thought you would think that was cool. And you can just tell he's choked up.
Right.
They know I'm on the Puka train.
He's a fan. The whole Carter clan is a fan.
The whole Carter clan's a fan. But we're done with the interviews for today. I told producer Adam, we don't need another segment. We needed another segment.
The producer's always right.
He has a Vegas-themed segment for play or pass predictions on players next season. He explained to me these are gambling. I know what they are, but play or pass. Play is going to be if we believe this. Pass is going to be if we don't believe this. Daniel, we'll start with someone who's just on the show.
That's
Tony Pollard. Tony Pollard finishes as a top 10 running back next season, regardless of what team he's on. We went through with Tony Pollard about it wasn't quite the season he had in mind, but it wasn't quite the health he had in mind, and how he felt so much better late in the year. Do you think Tony Pollard has another top 10 season in the can? He was still the RB14 last year by total points in PPR last year.
So he's probably going to end up elsewhere.
Do you really believe that?
I do. I think that the Cowboys are probably going to move on. I think that there will be suitors out there for Tony Pollard.
Absolutely.
He's an unrestricted free agent, I think that there will be, at least, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 teams very interested in acquiring him. Maybe not as a traditional lead back, but certainly as maybe the 1A back, like, 1A, 1B kind of split. Top 10 PPR, since that's the only legitimate scoring format. That's what we're going to talk about. I'm going to say no, but I'm going to say pass. Pass is the term we're going with. And it's because I just don't think the volume will be there. I think that, you know, he had a bunch of opportunities for touchdowns this year. He didn't cash in, as we know. I don't know if he gets those next year.
I'm going to say play. Okay. Because I think it is going to be more of like the 2022 Tony Pollard role. It was like kind of a perfect storm of bad circumstances from last year, where it was the first time, you know, he was the guy kind of getting run into the backs of the tackles, and he wasn't fully healthy. He was talking about how he thought he was fully healthy going into the season,
right,
and then he kind of learned on the field that he just wasn't. And until week 14 against Carolina, I wish Tony Pollard. I had visions of him in the Mike McDaniel offense. That can't happen,
yeah,
because of Devin Achane locking down that role. But I think it's going to be more of the 2022 Tony Pollard role. He's not rehabbing this offseason. And I really don't think fantasy managers, there's going to be so many like never Pollard drafters.
Right.
And I do think he's probably going to be a huge value. And, you know, he's not going to be a bell cow. There's like, what, there's four bell cow backs left in the entire NFL. And he's someone seen be a top five back without a bell cow role.
Right.
So I actually do think Tony Pollard can still be a top 10 running back next year, even when he leaves.
The health is an issue, you know,
and
I think it was clear that, and he said, you know, I wasn't moving the way I'm used to moving. And so sometimes we kind of gloss over injuries because modern medicine has made it so that these formerly catastrophic injuries are not catastrophic, and guys come back from major injuries without, you know, a year, you know, getting right physically. Sometimes it does take longer. I mean, it just does. We've seen this in recent years. I think, and I see your point with Pollard.
Yeah, we'll stick with the other guy who was on the show, Puka Nacua. Will he run back his rookie season with another wide receiver? I mean, the answer is absolutely yes.
Wide receiver one campaign?
Yeah, will he be wide receiver one overall? Mm-hmm. I could feel like you can almost ask. I feel like there's no way he's not in the top 12.
I think it would be a huge upset if he weren't.
Something will have gone extremely wrong if he's not in the top 12 next
right
year.
And I tend to, you know, we asked him, who's the number one receiver, like, a, you know, very unassuming, very modest.
He laughed very hard. He knew how to handle that one. He just immediately started laughing.
He said it's Cooper Kupp, and that's the right answer. Look, you know, that he's a teammate first, okay, and so that was the right answer for him. I don't see any way. Well,
he's the number one Rams receiver now.
He
couldn't say it. He's the number one Rams receiver now.
I see very little avenue for Cooper Kupp being the clear number one in L.A. next year.
Cooper Kupp could still have a very profitable role, but the injuries are catching up just a little bit. And I just think his role is going to change. And I think they'll probably still be both top 12. I think they will both be top 12.
And unlike a lot of receivers that we're going to talk about, or that we talk about as potential wide receiver ones, they have a distributor at quarterback. A guy who never runs and who distributes the ball a lot in a pass-heavy offense. I think that we're going to see that again. And so even if he's not efficient as he was, and he was very efficient this year, even if he's not as efficient, I think Puka's clearly a top 10 receiver. Yeah,
Matthew Stafford will never run once. Hey, and if he did, he would get very injured.
That's a good idea. Yeah. I endorse it, Matthew, if you're listening.
He should not do that. Denny, next question. Will Jahmyr Gibbs finish at least 100 points clear of David Montgomery? He finished 37 points clear in 2023 in PPR.
I'm passing there because, you know, looking at their season-long numbers, you have very evenly distributed backfield. As far as snaps go, you have Dave Montgomery with 272. That includes the regular season and the postseason. 272 to 247 as far as snaps go, Montgomery over Gibbs. And then you have the rushing attempts. David Montgomery had 258 to 211 for Gibbs. I don't think that changes a lot. Maybe that flips, but I don't think that means that Gibbs is blowing Montgomery out of the water, especially because, as we know, touchdowns are important. Montgomery gets that inside the 10 action, and Gibbs generally did not.
Denny, on this one, I'm going to play, quote-unquote,
okay,
or hit, quote-unquote, or go completely bust, quote-unquote.
Pat gambled once last week, and he won. He bet the Chiefs, and he won, and now he's a gambling expert.
True,
I just want everyone to know that.
I think Jahmyr Gibbs will finish 100 points clear of David Montgomery. I think it's a classic, like, Dan Campbell. Like, he comes into his house. He brings his wife into a room. And, like, he's like, is your phone with you? Are you being recorded? And I saw too much. Like, Jahmyr Gibbs, I saw too much. He can't. This is not a change of pace back. This is the lead back.
Yeah.
And that he can't unsee what Jahmyr Gibbs did with his lead back opportunities. And David Montgomery, extremely valuable real life player. Yeah. I think he kind of wore down a little bit as the season. And, like, when they, kind of like the crunch time moments, they were leaning on Jahmyr Gibbs. And I just don't know if that genie can go back in the bottle. That's always famous last words or change of pace running backs, though. And David Montgomery out touches him 19-12 in week one. But I think Jahmyr Gibbs will hit that 100-point benchmark.
You know, just real quick, I'm looking at the Pro Football Focus breakdown of the Detroit backfield from last year. And I was going to say, well, you know, Montgomery has the pass blocking edge, so he's going to keep that role. You know, per PFF, both Gibbs and Montgomery are really bad pass blockers. So,
yeah, nevertheless,
you know, maybe that's not the key.
Really going to be really great when they sign a third back to pick up the blitz.
I don't want to talk about that.
Shares go down. Dan, this one's a layup for you. You're a Travis Etienne hater, aren't you? Will Travis Etienne not finish as an RB1 in 12-team leagues?
Just because I've questioned whether Trevor Lawrence is good doesn't mean it trickles down to everybody. But, yeah, obviously, I don't like Travis Etienne as a fantasy player. RB1, no. This Jags offense is just it's tough to like squeeze value out of it unless I think it changes dramatically. We'd like to see ETN running more routes. We definitely like to see him getting more targets. The targets were spotty. Sometimes, you know, he'd have a 2 or 3 game stretch where you say, okay, now he's getting that sort of target volume where we can depend on it, and then it would vanish. So I'd say pass on this one.
It feels like Travis Etienne kind of missed his moment in 2023. I just don't quite know what that means going forward, because he's still going to be like at least 60% of the touches, but I think he missed his moment to be like an 80% of the touches guy, where that's not going to be his going forward role, like locked in, where he could have guaranteed that he was like one of the true bell cows of football last year.
Right.
And I just don't think he showed. And, you know, they had already dabbled with, I don't think they wanted him ever to have that role. They made the third round pick, Tank Bigsby.
Right.
And he didn't prove him wrong. He just didn't prove him wrong.
Tank Bigsby happened to be the worst running back in the NFL last year. If they get anybody else, I think that they would be more prone to use them. And I think that might ding the way that ETN is used in that backfield.
He's going to be a really, really fascinating offseason. But we have time for one more, Dan. I can't even decide. They're all so good. I'll give you another softball in the Denny wheelhouse. Jim Harbaugh will fully embrace the Greg Roman run system and sink Justin Herbert's value, making him a back-end QB1 for 2024.
He's not going to be QB1.
Oh, stop. You think there's going to be 12 quarterbacks?
Yeah.
Stop.
No. Stop. Yeah, I mean, no, he's not going to be top 12. And I think that he'll still be useful for fantasy. But I think wherever, if he's drafted as like the 6th, 7th, 8th quarterback off the board, I think that that's a misjudgment of what's going on with the Chargers.
I don't think it's going to be Alex Smith. I don't think it's going to be Colin Kaepernick. I think it is going to be Andrew Luck at Stanford, where you pointed out they did remain very run-heavy. But he's never had a quarterback like this in the NFL, Jim Harbaugh. I think Justin Herbert's efficiency, even with Greg Roman, is probably going to go through the roof. And his volume just won't be so empty. There's going to be a higher touchdown rate. They have to totally remake their backfield, for one thing, you know?
That's true.
And I just can't. Justin Herbert, too, is like extremely durable. I know he missed time this year, but he would have continued playing if their season wasn't over, I believe. And I have to believe. I just don't see there's any way. I think the efficiency, he's been an inefficient player, so it's dangerous to assume like one coaching change can make him an efficient player. But I just think the Justin Herbert efficiency increase is going to be real, and he's going to stay in the top 12.
Look, Greg Roman is the guy who in 2020 with the Ravens, they asked him.
There's no need. Everything looks bad if you remember it. That's a Simpsons quote.
Well, I remember this. Reporters asked him, hey, Greg, what do you think about other teams knowing exactly the plays you're going to call and the plays the Ravens are running? And he goes, yeah, that happens. What are you going to do?
Well, he didn't have Jim Harbaugh then, though. Jim Harbaugh, too, is the straw that stirs this drink. I think Greg Roman will probably be more effective back with Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh's like Pete Carroll. He's the tone setter on both sides of the ball. I'm very much wish casting with Justin Herbert.
I think something else is afoot in L.A.
No, you think he's going to get traded? Give me a break. Maybe he will.
I'm just saying. I really do feel like the Roman hire is indicative of something. Something else is going on. This is what I'll say.
Conspiratorial Denny Carter closing out today's show. Thank you so much to Puka Nacua. Thank you so much to Tony Pollard. Thank you so much to Denny Carter. But, of course, most of all, thank you so much to our listeners for sticking with us every day this week. We'll be back again on Thursday from Super Bowl 58 Radio Row. So for Denny Carter, I'm Patrick Daugherty. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow.
Bye, folks.